Today's message is called, We're Not Going to Take No for an Answer.
Amen.
We're not going to take no for an answer. God made certain promises. We're going to receive those promises. Amen. We're not going to give up. We're not going to slow down. We're not going to expect less.
Amen.
We're going to be expecting more. We're going to expect all that God promised. We're not going to take no for the answer. We're not going to stop at any point. We're going to keep pressing forward, keep applying the pressure, and knowing that whatever God promised, God will fulfill. Amen?
Amen.
If God said it, He will fulfill it. Now, I know we've seen miracles and we've seen changes here at Golden Heart, but I do not believe that we have even seen yet a glimpse of what God can do in your life.
Amen.
I don't believe we've even scratched the surface of what God can do in your life. And I don't want us to get complacent and think, oh, we saw a few miracles over there at Golden Heart. People were healed. I don't want us to get like that because I know that God has more for us. I know that God wants to do greater things in your life. I'm expecting and I'm believing for every single person here to see amazing transformations on all levels of their life. No exceptions. No exceptions. Every single one of you. And I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm not going to take, if I don't see changes happening in your life because of the power of God, I'm going to find out why. Because I know that God promised it. And whatever God promised, God does. So I know that there are greater things waiting. It says that miracles and wonders should follow us.
Amen.
Wherever we go, there should be amazing, miraculous healings happening. Not just once in a while, once every 6 months, but every single day.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to have a life of adventure where every single day you see miracles and wonders happening?
Yes.
That every time you turn around, you go, whoa, how did that happen? Oh my God, that guy, I just touched him, I shook his hand, and now he's walking out of that wheelchair. What happened? You know what happened. God is working. But that is what God is saying in His promises. He is saying that if we have partnered with Him. Now remember last week I talked about partnership with God. The covenant with God. We made that agreement. We signed that contract. And that contract, that agreement, gives us certain rights.
Amen.
We have certain rights under that contract. But we need to uphold those rights. We need to enforce those rights and we need to stand up and say, wait a minute, I've got a contract, I've got a guarantee that tells me. Now, sometimes you buy things, you know, have you ever bought something and it said it had 100% money back guarantee? Have you had that? 100% money back guarantee. And you were like, well, good, no risk, then I can buy this. If I don't like it, no problem, right? Have you, any of you bought that before? I've done that. I know there were things I wasn't going to buy, but because it had the 100% money-back guarantee, I thought, no risk. No risk, right? I could buy that. And so some of you bought those things in the past, and then you get them home, and you try them out, and you realize they're no good, or they're not what you wanted, or you didn't like it. And some of you have stood around and said, oh, I didn't like that. It was such so awful. It didn't work the way it was supposed to. I mean, it was just nasty. But why? And a lot of times you don't use your 100% money-back guarantee. You don't send it back. Instead, you just complain about how it was no good. It didn't work for you. It didn't work the way they said. And they're complaining. Whose fault is that? It's yours. You had 100% money-back guarantee. You never contacted the company. You never called them. You never returned the product. So you never got your refund. You never got what was promised to you. There was a guarantee, and you never got it. Well, God has given us a guarantee, too. His guarantee is the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. That means the promises that He made will be fulfilled, no end, buts, or maybes. We're not going to take no for an answer.
Amen.
Because we've got it. We've got the guarantee. And we've signed the contract. The minute you invite Jesus into your heart, you've signed the contract saying, I like what you're saying, God. I'm partnering with you. I'm signing on the dotted line. We've got an agreement here.
Amen.
I've got 100% money back guarantee.
Amen.
It's saying it's going to work. And it has to work. And there's no way that it can't work. And if it's not working, I need to call the company. Hello, God? Something's not working here. And find out why. Because I have a guarantee that says it's supposed to work. And it says that signs and wonders are supposed to follow the people that believe in God. The believers of God, the ones that have received Jesus into their heart, that are under the new covenant, the new agreement, that's what's supposed to be happening. If you don't see that, call the company. Something's not working, and you have a guarantee that it's supposed to work. There's no end buts or maybes. It has to work. And that's what I'm saying right now, is that we can't take no for an answer. Sometimes what happens is we get complacent, and we don't expect too much. We don't want a lot of things happening. You know, sometimes we're afraid of change. I talked about this a few weeks ago. And so as a result of it, we get complacent. And we're happy if we see one little thing happen. We're happy. I'm not happy with that. I'm expecting what God told me.
Amen.
I want to see miracles, darn it.
Amen.
And I want to see them every day.
Amen.
And I want to see them all the time. And I want to see them on all levels. And if I'm not seeing them, I need to be calling the company. And I need to be saying, wait a minute, I had a guarantee. Wait a minute, you said, here's what you said in your agreement, and that's what I'm supposed to be getting. Let's check this out. Let's check this out. All right, now, we got to get clear. We got to get very clear with who we are. We've got to be able to see who we are now under this new covenant. We've got to see it as clear as day, because once we see it, now we have no excuses and we have no reason to believe anything other than what God has said. Now let's do do a little groundwork here. All right, so in Exodus 3, verse 4, this is about Moses. And Moses, he had saw the burning bush and he started coming towards it. And here's what happens as he approaches it. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Holy ground. I want to look at what's holy today. And I want us to start to understand what that means. Moses had to do something different. He had to take his sandals off his feet. The sandals were dirty. The sandals, he had to remove them because what's dirty doesn't go with what's holy, and you can't bring what's dirty into what's holy. It's separate. It has no business. It has no right being there. I got a few more verses for you just to kind of establish this in your mind. So we have to remove what's dirty. All right. In Exodus 27:37, it says, 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it. So they're talking about the altar under the old covenant and how it worked. And the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. So the altar's holy. Whatever touches the altar also has to be holy. We're not mixing things that are holy and not holy. We're not doing that. We're keeping them separate. God is saying, this is the way it works. We keep stuff separate. Let's go down a little further. You're going to see where I'm going here in a second, so just hang on. Just stick with me on this point. All right, so in Exodus 30, 28, the altar of the burnt offering with all its utensils and the laver and its base, you shall consecrate them. So you shall cleanse them, consecrate them, get them into a state and that they may be most holy. So they're being consecrated, they're being cleansed to be made holy. And whatever touches them must be holy. So if it's holy, whatever touches them must be holy. We're not mixing stuff again. It's separate. What's holy is separate, and only what touches it is holy, and nothing else has any business, any right to touch what is holy. You with me?
Yes.
All right, let's go a little further. Now, we can take that another step here in Ephesians 5:30. It's now talking about us. And look what it says. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. And it's talking about God. It's talking that we are part of his kingdom. Now, if God is holy, and we are now part of his body, and we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, that means we are holy. We are holy. That means we are holy. So, because if we are holy, because God wouldn't mix things that are not holy with things that are holy. We already established that. In the Old Covenant, he's making it very clear. Hey, this is holy. Don't mix something else with it. Hey, you can't bring those dirty shoes in here. This is holy, you know, ground over here. You can't do that. Don't mix these things. So the same thing we start to see now. And how have we become holy? We were consecrated. We were consecrated by receiving Jesus. By receiving the righteousness, we were made holy. By receiving that blessing upon ourselves from him, we became holy. We're holy. We're holy. Think about that. You know, and some of you are reeling going, oh, what? I do have a few holes. All right, let's go down here to Romans 12. Romans 12, it talks about, again, it's establishing this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's talking again about us being holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Acceptable to God and holy. I go down to Colossians 1:21. And you who were once alienated, he's talking about us, we were once aliens. We were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now he has reconciled. We were once opposite, opposed, different, alien from God, distant from him. But now we have been reconciled, brought back together, partnered with him, have that covenant, got that contract. We're one with him. We're together with him. Got it? Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So because of this contract, because of this agreement, because you invited Jesus into your heart, you now are seen, this is how you are seen to God, to represent you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Above reproach. That means God wouldn't even approach you to say, hey, is something wrong with you? No, he wouldn't even say that because you're above reproach. Can't even come close to you to say that because you're holy. Amen. You are holy. Amen. Now, if we're holy, now look down here in Exodus 19:6, we continue on, and it says, you shall be a kingdom of priests. Here is a promise that God is saying. God is saying a promise to you. I always talk about if God made a promise, he's going to fulfill his promise. And I always say that we received his promise fully when we received Jesus. He fulfilled the promise through Jesus. Everything was fulfilled. We received it. The contract, he's done his part of it. We've already got it. And now we just got to enforce it and use it. Okay? And so here it said, this is one of his promises. He says in Exodus 19:6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Amen. All of you will be holy. All of you are holy because that was the promise. You have received the promise. This was before Jesus came that this was said that you were going to be a holy nation. And you now are a holy nation. You might be looking around going, Ted, America doesn't look very holy. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about that nation. I'm talking about the nation of God, the kingdom of God. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. That's your nation. Yes. That's your nation. And that nation is holy. That means everyone that receives the promise, receives Jesus into their heart, has been made holy. You are a holy nation. Now, I'm saying that because I need you guys to begin to see and think about yourself that way. Some of you, who can believe that? Who can believe that they're holy? Can anybody believe that? Some of you are doubting it. Some of you are kind of shaking your heads. You're going, well, I don't know. You're holy. You've got to see it that way. Your body is holy. Your body is holy. Your body is holy. That means your bladder is holy. Your liver is holy. Your eyes are holy. Your ears are holy. Your body is holy. Your ears are holy. Your love handles are holy. Your back is holy. And your knees are holy. Think about your body for a moment. It's been made holy. It's holy in the sight of God. And the reason I'm saying this is because I want you to start to see this. This is what we have under the contract. This is what we have under the agreement. Everything about your body is holy. What is there anything that is not holy in your body? No. The only thing I've ever seen where it's in somebody's own sight that they're not holy. Basically, by what they think about themselves, that's the only thing that's not holy, is what they're thinking. Because everything else has been consecrated already. Your body is holy. I'm saying this because if we want to receive the promises of God, we've got to understand who we are. We are holy. Your body is holy. You're part of a holy nation. And what that means is that means that nothing can come across you or upon you that is not holy. Why? Because God wants that stuff separated. What am I talking about? Well, if we're talking about that you've got pain in your body, pain is not holy. It has no business. It has no right there. It has no right in your body. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying you've got to enforce the contract. You've got a guarantee from God that says you're holy. It says that you're healthy. And if you've got pain in your body right now, don't take no for an answer and go, well, Ted, it's the weather. Every time those clouds start to roll in, I feel my back. No, you don't. That's not part of the contract. God didn't say that when the weather rolls in, you're going to feel your back. He said, you're holy. And as a result of that, pain is not holy. It has no right. It has no business. It has no reason being in your body. You've got to get it out of there. Start to use the contract, enforce it, and rebuke it out of your body. Same with sickness. If it's sick, you know, it was flu season, Ted. I got one of those flus again. No, it's not flu season. In the nation of God, a holy nation, there is no business bringing that dirty flu into your house. It shouldn't be there. You've got no business having it because you're holy. It doesn't belong there. It has no right there. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Any disease, I don't care what the doctors are calling it. I don't care if they've changed the name and they've come up with some sort of new test that proves that you've got it. You don't got it, and you shouldn't have it, and it has no right to be there. See, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying, oh my God, you're bad if you have it there. I'm saying, no, I'm saying use the power of the holiness, use the power and the authority of God, and now rebuke it and get it out. And understand, it has no right being in my body. It has no excuse being in here. It has no business because this is holy ground right here. Take off those dirty shoes. They have no right being on me, that disease or that sickness. That bug has no reason to be on me. See, we're not taking no for an answer. Too often we don't accept and understand who we are, that we have been made holy, that we are a holy nation by God. And as a result of that, we kind of little by little let the things that are not holy get in, and we make excuses for them. And we come up with reasons. Well, it's that season. Well, the weather is changing. We come up with all these reasons that has nothing to do with what God is saying. God has showed us very clearly, if you're on holy ground, what's not holy doesn't come in. If something is made holy, then we don't bring in what's not clean into it. And it has no business. It cannot come against you. If you start to use the authority that God has given you, you can stand up against pain. Amen?
Amen.
You can stand up against sickness.
Amen.
Amen? You can stand up against seasonal affective disorders. You can stand up against allergies. You can stand up against whatever tries to come against you. You stand on the promises of God, and it says, I'm a holy nation. It says, I'm holy. It says that this body has been made holy. And it says that as long as I'm standing there, that nothing else, that is anything that is not holy, cannot come in here. And that's the guarantee that I'm standing on right now. We can't take no for an answer. We can't come up with an excuse or a reason. We've got to stand on the promises of God. If we're standing on the promises of God, and He's already fulfilled them through Jesus, so they're already fulfilled, and I've already received them, and you've already received them through inviting Jesus into your heart, then it's all finished. And now what's required is for me to stand. Stand in the truth and say, no way. I'm not going to allow this sickness to come upon me. I'm not going to allow it to. Maybe you had it a long time already. Maybe you had it even before you received Jesus into your heart. You were feeling sick. But the minute you received Jesus, you became holy ground. And now it has no longer any business being there. Sure, it was there before because it had a reason. But now it has no reason. It cannot stand. And now you've got to stand on the promises of God and say, this is holy ground. Take off that disease. Take off that sickness. It has no business being here. And that's true of everything in your life. It has no business being there. This body is holy. I hope you're starting to see yourself as holy. I need you to see it, because the only thing that, as I said, that's in our body that's not holy is sometimes in our own sight, in how we see ourselves. And we've got to renew that. We've got to change how we see ourselves and begin to see that we are holy. We've been made holy. Not that we're going to be made holy. The promise that I read in Exodus about us becoming a holy nation has already happened. It's already happened because Jesus came and walked on the earth. He fulfilled all the promises. He fulfilled all the laws. And then He defeated every sickness, every darkness, everything that tries to come in and defile what is holy, which is you. He defeated it. He got victory over it. And then you received Him, so you received the victory, which means now the things that are holy do not have any, nothing can come against them. Nothing can try to affect them or make them sick. But in order for us to have that, we have to utilize the authority. We have to call on that guarantee and say, wait a minute. No, no, no. I'm not taking this answer that says I'm sick. I'm not accepting this that says I have this disease or this problem. No. Why? Because I have a guarantee with my covenant. We talked about partnership last week. Because of that partnership with God, I have a guarantee that says I am healthy. I have a guarantee above and beyond that that also says that I am prosperous. If you're working with stuff where you're financially struggling and you're not receiving it, there's something again that needs to be rooted out. I'm not taking no for an answer. I want to see the results that God said. God made a guarantee. And He said that whoever believes in Him, that miracles, signs, and wonders would follow. That people would be healed wherever we go. And if we're not seeing that, we need to now step up and say, it's time, God. Amen. Where's my guarantee? My guarantee said this. I need it right now. I receive it right now. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to get on with it. Here in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 2. I like this. I'm going to read this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things. All things. How many things? What is that? All. What is all?
Everything.
He has given us all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to life, and all things that pertain to godliness. Godliness as well. Because why? Because we're holy. So we've already been given all of it. So He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So because we believe, or because we knew about Jesus, the glory and the virtue, because we knew about Him and we said yes, we have received this, which by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. These were the promises. Remember, we're talking about promises God made. They're exceedingly great and precious promises. And that's how we receive them, through receiving Jesus. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
A godly nature. Amen. That's you. This is you. It's talking about you. Are you receiving this?
Yes.
Yes. Of a divine, so you are be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we're no longer a part of the corruption of the world. You see the world, don't get caught up too much in talking about and complaining about the corruption of the world. Yes, it's there. But we got to remember, we want to stay focused on where we are. We're in the divine nature. We're in that holy place. And we should be bringing that upon the earth. If we get so caught up in talking and complaining about what's wrong with the world, then usually we end up slipping down that hill into what's wrong with the world. And then we try to, because we forget who we are, because we got so focused on what the world is. You got to keep remembering who you are. You are holy. Your body is holy. And your life is holy. And it's backed up. It's backed up by the promise of God. It's backed up by that covenant. There is power and there is authority in what God is saying. In His words, there is power and there is authority in His words. And we've got to be using that. That's how we get the promises. We use the power and the authority that He is giving. And we should, so whatever we are, if in our own sight we don't see ourselves as holy, if we got a problem where in our own mind, and I've been telling you how you're holy, and something in you is going, no, it's not. I'm too bad. No, this can't be holy, Ted. I got to lose that. No, Ted, this nose cannot be holy. If there's something in you that's saying that, that it's in your own sight that you're not holy, because God sees us above reproach to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. So the way He sees you is perfect. He sees you as blameless. He doesn't see any flaws in you. That means what's seeing it is whatever's going on in here, you know, between these ears, that's where the only part that's unholy. It's that we're perceiving something of ourselves that's not true. It's an illusion. So we need to use the power of God's words. We need to use God's power to be like a Roto-Rooter, to go in. You know, Roto-Rooter, they use this for when they get plumbing is backed up. You know, something's got clogged and they send this thing in there and it's like a long cable. And it's like, and it goes down in this hole, you know, starts pulling all this stuff out. It like unblocks it. We need Roto-Rooter. We need God's Roto-Rooter in our brain to go in and unplug that block that keeps making us see ourselves in a way. Now, maybe that's the way we were before. Okay. But that's not the way we are anymore. We've been changed. We're new creatures. We've been changed. So now we got to get the Roto-Rooter in there to unblock the clog that keeps seeing what used to be rather than what is. Because what is today is that you are holy. That's what is. And so we got to get in there, let God's Roto-Rooter, which is His words, get in there and unclog it. Root it out. Root out the old image. The old image of who we were, or the old image of who we thought we were, or the old image that somebody else told us that's who we were, or the image that culture has said, well, this is who you are. Whatever it is. We got to get in, let God's words get in there and root out the image. Root out the image so that now we can see ourselves the same way God sees us. Now, it's not saying that God will see us as blameless. eventually. It's saying he sees you as blameless now. Now. Already sees you as blameless. You can say amen to that.
Amen.
Now the only thing is, we've got to see ourselves the same way. The stumbling block isn't God. God's already fulfilled his part of that agreement. The stumbling block is we've got to root out our own images that we have put in there. How do we do that? Listen to this, 1 Corinthians, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. And it says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power."
Amen.
Sometimes we misunderstand this, but the words of God are not words, they're power. And they're the power, God's word is the power to root out anything that is not holy. We're holy, but something got in the program that's trying to corrupt it. God's program, though, can go in. His words are power. They go, they're not just something to be rememberized and spoken. They're not just something to say, ooh, yeah, God's word. Ooh, yeah, that's holy. No, the reason it's holy is because it's power. And when the word goes in, the word of God goes in, it's going to root out everything that is not holy. It is going to churn it out, is going to pull it out, is going to cut it free. It's going to break it down. It's going to snap it off. And you're going to be set free so that your mind is now in alignment with God's truth. And now your eyes can see what God is seeing. He already sees you as blameless. And when you let the Roto-Rooter go in, you're going to see God. And yourself also, you're going to see yourself as blameless.
Amen.
That's the image you're going to start seeing. You're going to start seeing that you are holy. Now, here's what I want to do. Because I'm not taking no for an answer. And I don't want to give up. I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to let go of this contract that I've got a guarantee, darn it. I tell you, if I've got a guarantee and I don't like something or something's not doing what it's supposed to, I'm going to find out why. And we're going to receive what the promise said. And so what we're going to do is, now, last week I talked about partnership. And I talked about how you partnered with God, that you have a contract with him. And you have an agreement with him. And now I talked this week that that agreement has said that you're holy.
Amen.
That agreement has made you holy, that agreement. If you broke that contract, then good luck, because you're no longer. But you made that agreement. You're with him. You're in it. You're holy. You've got it.
Amen.
That's the partnership.
Amen.
Now, not only, I talked also about the partnership that when you partnered with God, you're also partnered with everybody else that is a partner with God.
Amen.
So look around, because you've got partners here. Everybody here that invited Jesus into their heart is your partner.
Yes.
You're partners together. And together, we can get more things done. We get more things done. A lot of times people like to be individuals and they like to do their own thing. And I'm not saying that you can't be an individual. You're still an individual in God. You're very unique. There's nobody else like you. There's nobody that thinks like you. There's nobody that has your purpose. So you are an individual and you have an individual purpose. But what I'm saying is when we team up together, when we realize that we have a partnership together, we can pool the power of God on the earth to fulfill and move us forward to do things. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be doing this. We're going to be pooling our power together. Because I'm asking you today to make an agreement with me, to make a commitment with me today, that you're not going to take no for an answer.
Amen. Amen.
That you're not going to give up.
Amen.
And that you're not going to quit. And that you're not going to settle for one miracle every 6 months. But that you're going to see, and you want, and you are guaranteed, and you're not going to stop until you fulfill that, you receive that, that you see miracles and signs and wonders following you every single day.
Amen.
Amen. Can you agree with me on that?
Yes.
See, we're making an agreement right now. We're saying, we're partnering together. God has already fulfilled his promise. We're partnering together to make this happen. To make what come to pass, what God is saying. He has already fulfilled it. He has promised it. We're going to make it happen right now. Because we're agreeing. There's no quitters. There's no quitting. If you said yes, you're in it with me.
Yes.
We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And we're not going to stop till we see it happening in every single one of your lives.
Amen.
I want to see change in a dramatic and beautiful way for every single one of you. I don't want one of you to be left out. I want every single one of you seeing the miracles that are following you. Because you're holy. Because you have that agreement with God. And because he made certain guarantees that if you believe in Jesus, if you're a believer, what follows you are signs and wonders. People receive healing. There is transformation in those lives. I want to see that in your life, in every single one of your lives. Now, since the kingdom of God is not just in words, but in power, we need to get that power on the inside. And what we're going to do over the next, well, this week we're going to start. We're going to talk about more as we go along. But this week, I'm going to give you two verses. Get out some paper and your pen or your smartphone. If you have a smartphone that has a, you know, like mine has a little notepad on it, you can punch it into there. Or if you have the YouVersion Bible on your iPhone or your smartphone, I have that. You can punch these verses in. I'm just going to give you two verses. So write down or pick out these verses so you know what the verses are. You ready? The first one is Isaiah 53:5. And what we're tackling this first 7 days, what we're tackling here is healing. God said very clearly, that if we believe, healing will follow us wherever we go. Now, I already talked about that we're holy, meaning sickness shouldn't be in our body. So if it is there, we're going to use these verses to root it out, the power of them. We've got to get the power in there so it starts to root them out. Because we're going to see healings begin to happen. We're going to see healings begin to happen wherever we go.
Amen.
Healings are going to happen in our bodies. Healings are going to happen and other people that we encounter. Amen?
Amen.
And these, the power of God will be working. His Spirit's already on the inside. These verses are going to activate. And they're going to begin to root out the image that we have that says we can't do it. Or that we don't have a holy image. Oh no, we're going to root that out with these verses. And the minute it's rooted out, now we're going to start to see it happen. It's going to start to happen when we root it out. So the first verse was Isaiah 53:5. Let me read that to you. Here's what it sounds like. And you can look at this in any translation you want. Perhaps you want to read it in several different translations. That's fine with me. But here's the one I have. This is the New King James Version. It says, "But he who was wounded for our transgressions," this is talking about Jesus, "he was wounded for our transgressions." In other words, he was wounded so those transgressions would be taken off of us. "He was bruised for our iniquities." Again, he received those bruises so that the iniquities that we have would be removed. They wouldn't come upon us. He's taking them for us. "The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." How many of you have heard this verse before? Okay. And this is the thing, is a lot of times we know the words, and we've heard the words before, but the kingdom of God, let me read this again, "For the kingdom of God is not in word,
Amen.
But in power."
Power.
I don't care if you've heard this verse before. I don't care if you know it off by heart. It's not going to do you a lick of good if you only know these words. It ain't going to do nothing for you. But what we need is, this is a living word. And a living word is the power of God. And when we get it on the inside, the power, now it goes to work and it changes the world. It changes our life and as a result, the world around it. Okay? Are you with me? So what we're going to, let me give you the second verse, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do, I guess. Second one is Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This is still dealing with healing, because I want us to focus on receiving the healing that God promised. And I'm talking about allergies. I'm talking about back pain. I'm talking about diseases. I don't care what the name is, and I don't care what the doctor said. The promise from God is it cannot live or exist in this body once it's been made holy. Amen?
Amen.
I'm talking about something maybe you've had a long time, and you've kind of ignored it because, well, Ted, that's just the way that I am. No, I'm telling you, we're not going to take no for an answer. It will be healed, it will be changed, and it will transform, or else I'm going to find out why.
Amen.
Because we got a guarantee.
Amen.
Here's what Romans 8 says, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and it does, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, if that Spirit, if God can, with this His Spirit, can raise somebody from the dead, which He did, Jesus, and now that same Spirit is in you, which it is, what that means is that no matter what sickness is there, if He can raise someone from the dead, if he can heal the dead, He can heal whatever that problem is that's in your body. No matter what it's called, no matter how long you've had it, He can heal it. Okay? That's what this verse is saying. This verse is saying, I healed Jesus from the dead. God's saying this. I healed Jesus from the dead. Whatever your problem is nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. I can do that too.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
But again, how many of you heard this verse before? Have you heard this verse before? Yeah? Again, it doesn't matter how many times you've heard it or if you've memorized it. Because if it's just in word, you miss the whole boat. We need it inside. It's the power of it. It's not the words of it. It's the power that's in there. Now, what we need to do with these verses, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to make an agreement that we're going to do a couple things. First thing is we're going to read them. You're going to read them, and you're going to reread them. 7 times in the morning. Make a note of this. 7 times in the morning. We're all agreeing to this. 7 times in the morning, we're going to read these 2 verses. And 7 times at night. 7 times at night. This is the 777 prescription of God's healing ways. I just made that. But we're going to do it for 7 days. We're going to start today. Start tonight. Do it. So you're going to read it. And as you read it, I want you to be real. Don't just... I know some of you are fast readers. I know... you're not doing this just to get through it fast. No. Read it slow. As you read it, let it sink in. As you read it, get a feeling for it. I don't want to just babble it off 7 times. I did my 7 times. Woohoo! I'm off to work. No. Do it with thoughtfulness. Okay? Now also, on top of reading it 7 times in the morning and 7 times at night, I want you to find 5 minutes sometime during the day and meditate on these words. Ask God for revelation. See, when the power comes when you get a revelation about these verses in terms of your healing. When you get the revelation of what God has said, it just opens your mind and you suddenly just see how clear it is. Well, you're meditating on this. Now you've got the power. It's no longer words. Now it's the power. And now you can use the power to to bring the healing, to receive the healing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So seven times in the morning, seven times in the night, every single day for the next 7 days, and 5 minutes of meditate. Now, you can do more than 5 minutes if you want, but I'm saying let's do at least 5 minutes. Amen? Now, who's going to be partners with me in this? All right. I like that. We got almost everybody. Now, if you need help, I want you to contact or talk to somebody else here and say, I need a buddy. I need a buddy who's going to send me a text and remind me to do my 7 readings. I need a buddy who's going to help me to, you know, understand what I meditated on, or can we talk about what God reveals to me after I have this meditation? Find a buddy. Why? Because God's all about partnership. We talked about this last week. We're not trying to get to the top of the mountain by ourselves. It's not a race. It's not a sprint. Who can get to the top first? Woohoo, I'm the winner! No. As we go up the mountain, it's about helping other people to get there too. Some of you are very disciplined. You're very disciplined. You're able to start something, and you have that ability where once you start it, you never stop. You're not going to quit. You're going to do it. And other people, they don't have that. If you're that person, find somebody who needs a strong partner to help them to get through this. And if you're the person who knows that, well, I'll probably do this for maybe a couple times, then I'll forget. If you know that, find that person who you know, man, they're solid. They're going to be there for me. And they're going to help me to remember to say it. If you're married, ask your spouse to help you. That's what they're there for. If you have Siri, you can put all kinds of reminders in your smartphone and have it remind you. You can have it remind you daily. It's time. I think technology is great because we have all kinds of extra little help. I don't know what it's going to take for you to get it done, but there's plenty of things to help you along the way. Make sure that you use the resources that God has given you here. Because we have gifted people. And I know that when you partner together, you're going to get more out of it. Now, in 7 days, we're going to come back. And we're going to, after having done this seriously and with you know, complete diligence, we're going to report on the miracle healings that we have seen.
Amen.
During this week.
Praise God.
That might be all we do next week, because we might just have so many, such a list of them, we might just have to talk about that. And I'm okay with that. In fact, that would be pretty exciting, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be exciting? That we're just talking about the miracles that took place.
Amen.
For us.
Amen.